All right, a cold open idea. You know, why is it called a cold open? I'm rather warm right now, and it seems like a warm open idea. Anyway, are you hungry? I'm not. I just had dinner, but I always have room for my weekly slice of Tres Leches, served as a podcast with your hosts, Ian, Johnny, and Juan. Hola, hola, my beautiful souls. Ian here, and we're gearing up for a glitzy episode of Tres Leches that's shimmering with stars, drama, and dreams. A celebration of why we love the Academy Awards. So, grab your popcorn and let's dish on the films, the fashion, and the fabulousness of it all. That is a great line. Lights, camera, action. Tres Leches is diving into the heart of Hollywood's biggest night. So let's go. Guys, so the Oscars is this week. And I don't know about you, but it is definitely my Super Bowl, my Christmas, my
International F-slur Day.
F-slur? What does F-slur mean?
Faggot.
Oh, F-slur.
That's indeed what
it
means.
Oh, I liked that. It was said so quickly and put together that it felt like maybe a new idiom on the way to being used.
Oh,
gosh, how fun, a new idiom.
Look at
that. Yeah.
Now we have the old one, just F-slur.
That'd be a fun title for something, the idiot and the idiom. Anyway. Something to think about.
Was it crispy?
Right.
Tell me more. That makes me think of when you ask a question and you said you like to use now no wrong answers.
Oh, yes. Before we that is true. It's been very helpful because, you know, sometimes you ask a question that can seem quite, that feels provocative, especially on a dating app, right? For example, if you wanted to ask something like, you know, how tall are you? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you're interested. You're curious. It's something you want to know the answer to, but it is a little probing, right? Like, because it seems like it could go the wrong way.
There's a good,
yeah.
There's
so
a
you just have to say, no wrong answers.
Yeah.
Oh.
No wrong answers. So you used to be like, are you circumcised? No wrong answers, by the way. Like, it doesn't really matter. Even
right.
though it very
the
could.
Because the person can hear it and be like, what do they want to hear?
Exactly. Although it could really matter.
I'm verse.
Exactly. But if you say no wrong answers, it lightens the mood a bit.
Yeah.
But I have found that it's been very helpful.
Yeah. It's disarming.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. I've used it.
I think since
we had that conversation, I've definitely used it. Not in ways where I've asked if they're circumcised, but definitely just in like...
Yeah, I just use that one because it's kind of like...
I don't know that I'm going to use it, but when I can tell there's like a pondering, almost trepidatious energy in the way they're about to answer something I ask, I just kind of throw it as a way to just, you know...
Sorry,
bless
I didn't
you.
Mean to burp.
Oh my God. Oh. It was very Wendy Williams of you.
Oh my God.
Wendy. So much. Wendy.
So many things.
But yes, the Oscars.
The Oscars.
You know, I think the Grammys did this for me too. First of all, I loved your Grammys episode. If you haven't listened to it, you should
go back
and
listen to
it. It was a good episode. But the Grammys kind of tuned me back in, and I said this on the episode this year, to award shows. It just felt like, I don't know, it just kind of felt exciting again.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Oscars this year, I don't know if it's going to be the most exciting show ever held. I mean, I think we kind of know what's going to happen. We have enough, the patterns.
Yeah.
Some patterns have emerged from all the award shows that lead up to it this year. I'm kind of excited for the glitz and the glamour and a little bit of the distraction of it all.
Yeah. I will say one of my favorite parts of the Oscars they're not the awards themselves. Like, my favorite part, and I have been, I 2 years ago, I was lucky enough to have been invited, and I was there and for like a red carpet.
Keep
which,
TikTokers off the red carpet.
Oh my God.
What are they doing here?
Oh, yeah. Stay home. You're at home. I don't want to stay with you.
You're on your couch. Leave the girls alone. Uh-huh.
Let me wear my Prada in peace, okay?
Ooh, Prada in peace.
It was such a fabulous moment. That was so fun. And Juan was actually my date.
Yeah.
It was really, really,
you guys
it was
so cute. That's what you wore. Oh, no, that was the Tony. Sorry, wrong award show.
Yeah. Oh, the gold.
You guys look so cute.
That was a really fun moment. But would you, so what I was saying is like those beginning moments, and since I was a kid, my favorite moments have always been when I see celebrities interacting with
celebrities.
The inside baseball
and
of it all.
Kind of, you know, they're this time and place where, at least when you were a kid, you only knew them as the characters they played.
Right.
And then as you got older, you realized, you were like, oh, like, wait, this is an actual person. And and the playing dressed up things become a lot more kind of apparent to you and you're aware of that. And so it's really fun for me to kind of watch
it is.
How people interact and... Yeah. and
well, what would you say was your first Oscar moment that you can remember that sticks out to you in your head? It doesn't have to be the first, but like one of, like as a kid.
Mine is, it's kind of a pastiche, but it's Whoopi Goldberg hosting.
Ooh, yeah.
And I love it because Whoopi is so, brings so much gravitas because she is such an actress. Mm. So it's not that I also loved when Billy Crystal hosted too. I mean, so those opening numbers are unmatched. Yeah. But that let's table that. Well, Whoopi brought kind of throughout the evening was a playful of like, I'm an insider.
Yeah.
Like, I've got one of these.
Totally. Yeah.
So like, none of y'all have anything on me. Right. So it's like, I'm kind of just making fun of you. But I'm
my
but
people.
Yeah. It just felt like, made it all feel very relaxed.
Totally.
You know, the year when she did the year that stands out is when she came out throughout the whole night in the different costumes.
Yes. Right. Queen Elizabeth.
Yes, yeah.
So
she wore the costumes,
you know, she wore costumes from each movie nominated for best costume design. And that was just like so fun. Yeah. So many sight gags. I love sight gags where you're just like, look, funny.
Yeah.
No lines. This is funny.
Yes.
Yeah. I just love that. And Whoopi's so good at delivering those moments. I think that would be mine.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I mean, I loved when Julia Roberts won for Erin Brockovich.
Oh.
I just loved that moment. And I thought she just, you know, it was a moment where like, I loved everything about that for her. I loved that movie. I still love that movie. It's one of my favorites. It's one of the reasons why I love Steven Soderbergh and like that type of film and just the coloring, everything about it. And then her speech was just so, so amazing. I could go down a list of all the reasons why I just like love Julia.
Which we could get into. I think for me though, like the Oscars were appointment television for me.
Mm.
Not for my household, just for me. It was something that I would watch in my room by myself. Everyone quiet. You know, very Rachel Berry vibes in a sense. But I could not talk about the Oscars and my experience as a child without talking about the late, great Joan Rivers.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
The best to do it ever. She is, to me... No one has been able to top her. We don't need anyone to top her. She is that what you were talking about when the celebrities meet. She was the reason. She was one of those people. Everyone wanted Joan to think that they were great.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted, and she was funny, and she was alive, and she was interested, and she was also like, this isn't important. They're ridiculous, you know? It just... When I think about my introduction to the industry, I think about Joan Rivers. And I feel like every year was like a lesson that I was learning about celebrity and Hollywood. And so I feel like that was
and my comedy.
Intro. And comedy.
Oh my God.
And fashion.
And yes.
It's just like she just, Joan delivered such, she made magic.
Uh-huh.
Added so much value to the Oscars.
Yeah.
Yeah, she, you know, because a lot of
times... To the brand.
I will say nowadays, red carpet interviews feel a little, oh my God, here we are with Jennifer Lopez. Oh, Jennifer. Where she was like, Jennifer Lopez, get over here.
Yeah.
What are you wearing?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, Joan, hi, Joan. It almost felt like she was elevated. She was Oscar-ess.
Yeah.
You know, like she was. You wanted to defer to Joan.
It was a different time.
It was a different time. And I feel as though we need a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Joan, we've missed that.
Yeah. I will say there are certain interviewers, our favorite, Matt. What's Matt's last name?
Matt Friend.
Matt Friend, TikToker. That's his name, Matt Friend. He will be my friend one day, but he's known for doing impersonations and becoming friends with the people he's impersonated. Like him and Dan Hedaya. Oh my God. Hank Azaria are like on podcast, always talking together or like
Jeff Goldblum.
So many. And he does a really good job on interviews and red carpets because there's a way that the celebrities all they all know him and respect him for kind of his
knowledge.
No, I was gonna say for his talent. You know what I mean? Mm. It's not like Joan Rivers, I'm a comedian, but he lives in that space.
I mean,
of,
he's a stand-up comedian,
yes,
for sure. So he brings an air of improv and fun to it that is that they look forward to. And they're at least last night at the Screen Actors Guild, which he hosted at, he looked amazing. He's really handsome, tall, kind of Hollywood good looks.
Yeah,
but he's a really funny comedian, and it made me happy because it was the first time in a long time where I've been like, oh yeah, he belongs on the red carpet,
yeah,
kind of doing this. He's also a very, very talented actor and comedian, so you know, I think he will probably be interviewed more and more and not on that end of it because he'll probably be nominated for something.
Greg Kinnear started out,
correct,
you know, doing Talk Soup and yep, then was and then Oscar nominated.
Wow.
Yep. For As Good As It Gets.
Exactly right. Film. My God, he was so good on Talk Soup.
Oscar knowledge.
We are.
Talk Soup. Wow.
Talk Soup is excellent.
Wait, tell for the listeners, Talk Soup was a show
on E! News. E! News had a weekly wrap-up show, basically, that would talk about, you know, everything that went on.
It was on
E! TV.
It was just on E!
That's
yeah, right.
On E!
Oh, yes, because E! News was part
the
of
the show.
E! Mm-hmm. And so they have, like, classic hosts like Aisha Tyler. Greg Kinnear, I think, was the first host mm-hmm. of Talk
he
Soup.
He was.
Did you know Beyoncé was a red carpet correspondent?
Really?
Not for the Oscars, of course, but for the Video Music Awards. And I thought to myself, listen, if Beyonce could get on the red carpet and interview people, we could all do it.
We
could all possibly start off on the red carpet. Yeah. And that was at the beginning of her career when she was, you know, cutting her teeth and showing her face.
Ooh. You know, you are really full of idioms today. Cutting her teeth. What does that mean?
Cutting her teeth, you know, like getting, you know, doing the hard labor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Learning, the beginning of your career.
Yeah. Wow.
The
like
grunt work.
Cutting your teeth on the...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah,
really
yeah.
Learning
prepping,
how to do it.
Doing the
yeah, like you know, I cut my teeth on Broadway before I made yes. it to Hollywood.
Yes.
I'm still cutting my teeth.
Yes,
we're all cutting our teeth in different capacities.
God, this must be so sad.
I love the red carpet because I feel like it's an opportunity to kind of peacock, and I love the fashion, and I love the. So I like the celebritization of celebrities. I like celebrities to do celebrity things.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I like them to look
fame,
nice.
Yep. Fashion.
Fame.
Glitz,
fashion.
Glamour.
You know.
Do you have a red carpet moment that you're just like, that was the moment?
Okay, I have two that I love.
Go.
This is not Oscars.
Oh.
One is not one Oscars.
It has to be Oscars.
It has to be Oscars? Yes. Okay.
The Oscar episode.
Then Celine Dion. Wearing the backwards tuxedo at the Oscars.
Mm.
That was As Good As It Gets. That was fabulous.
And you know who hated it?
Joan.
Joan Rivers.
Joan hated it, but if Joan had been alive today.
And seen where
fashion had gone, she would have said, okay, maybe the girl was right.
Yes. For sure.
Yeah, I think that was just an iconic moment.
Yeah.
And it really showed that early on that Celine had something
je ne sais quoi
with fashion that would be around the corner.
Yes.
She would need to meet Law, but
yes.
but she was on her way to really playing with clothing. I love that. And my other one for me is Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's pink dress.
Yeah.
I
feel like
Ralph
that is
Lauren.
If I pictured Ian Lauren. Going to the Oscars as a woman, that is what I would picture Ian wearing.
Oh my God.
A slick back bun,
mm-hmm.
dainty collarbones, and a fucking Ralph Lauren taffeta mm-hmm. dress.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, it was just, and for me, I feel like I loved learning about designers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Joan would always be like, who are you wearing? And then, you know, I'd be like, oh, Oscar de la Renta. Of course it's Oscar de la Renta. It's red.
Uh-huh.
That's an Oscar de la Renta red. You know, and so, you know, as a gay person, it was like always very exciting. But for me, what I loved watching was Jennifer Lopez showing up to the Oscars, devouring in every outfit that she would wear. And I don't mean J-Lo now. J-Lo now is a little more like, you know, she's a little more Puerto Rican these days. Back when mm-hmm. she first started, Jennifer Lopez was showing you Latinas can also be wispy, beautiful leading ladies as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was one dress she wore in particular. I don't remember what.
Was it like tan?
It was a sheer top. It was like a greenish gray. That's it. Please tell me who
the
designer
is.
Oh
my God, is that when she's with Chris?
Mm-hmm. Was she a Chris Judd at
that
point?
Oh my God, this is perfect. This we need.
This is, okay.
Wow, that is gorgeous.
Gorgeous. This was, I think this was her first Oscar. It was 1997.
1997, she wearing Bajli Mishka.
Bajli Mishka, yes, of course. Fabulous.
Could wear that today.
1998. She could wear all of these today.
There was a moment where things shifted. That was the moment things shifted for Jennifer Lopez.
2001 in Chanel.
Wow. The sheerness, the boobies out. She looked gorgeous.
Yeah. It helps that she also has a gorgeous man with her. Yeah,
no one was even looking at Chris Judd, unfortunately. I don't think.
I'm looking at him now.
Well,
you know, I think he was always kind of cute.
So handsome.
Yeah.
And she in this 2003, I think she showed up with Ben that year.
She did.
Because they used that picture on every cover. I mean, that is, you know what this is
vintage
giving?
Valentino.
It gives Jackie Onassis.
It's giving me Sophia Loren.
Beauty.
Like a 70s.
But you know what I mean? Like fashion forward woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she looks a little like, it makes her look a little older than
correct,
she is.
But it's giving.
Yeah, but it's a silhouette.
Yeah,
it's
but
I appreciate. It's playing to the Academy.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah. No, I like that. See, when you told me that you think I would be in pink taffeta, like, or not taffeta, is that what you said? Taffeta.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
But this is, I see myself
Armani in, Privé in 2010.
Literally, I see myself in Armani Privé.
I see
vibes.
Ian in Armani. I see him in Prada. Chanel. I see him in the old, I don't see you in Chanel. I see like high Italian fashion. You know what I mean? I feel like you give that. And Juan, I feel like you give me like the Bajli Mishkas, maybe the Dior.
Bob Mackie.
Bob Mackie for sure. Maybe an up-and-coming designer that's POC that you're putting on, you know?
That we love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's like a wish list of mine. If I could, I mean, you in this day and age, you could literally be whatever you want and dress her. I would love Christian Siriano to make me a gown. I think he makes some of the most beautiful, expensive, luxurious, like playful clothing, and so like sexy. It's just so whimsical, and the shapes and silhouettes, and like his material choice. I just like I am blown away by him. Anyway,
I would agree. I was gonna say I love Johnny. Your playful, like playful, sexy. How you play with textiles and what you wear, you and your team have done a good job of how you play with textiles. But I feel like I love to see you in things that are like very Helmut Lang, almost a severity to the fashion.
Wow, thank you.
Heavy wool. With just oversized collars and playing with proportions in a way.
Right. Well, so when you go inside, what do you want to see? When you go, when you see the Oscars, you know when they have the first pan into the audience, like, welcome to the 87th annual Academy. What do you want to see on that stage?
Ooh. I want to see a Jason Sherwood design.
Yes!
Oh! I was like, wait a minute. What is happening right now?
I want to see a Jason Sherwood design. This is what I want to see.
Baby, that man will design you on awards stage.
And win awards for it.
Yes, exactly.
You know what's funny? I told him, Jason Sherwood, friend of the pod, I love that he used gold. When I see the Oscars, I want to see either gold on that stage or I want to see diamonds. I don't want to see silver. I don't want to see platinum or white. I want to see gold and I want to see diamonds. Is that crazy?
No,
that's not crazy. No.
What would you like if you were designing the stage? What would you?
I mean, if we're going into shades of metals and elements, like I love.
Like, I love when she closes her eyes to really envelop herself.
It soothes me, but like face. I love like a rose gold, a platinum. Like I like
a little bit warmer.
Yeah, I like tints on a played out, not even played out, but just on a classic. Element, you know what I mean?
Think about rose gold. That is nice.
Yeah. I love a rose gold, like a coppery finish to something that just adds like depth, and it tricks your eye depending on how the light hits it. You know what I mean?
I love, and this has been used a couple of times. I can see them in my mind's eye, but I love a starry constellation.
I like when you
can't tell the. I like vastness on my Oscar stage.
Yes,
you know what.
I was gonna have a question. How do you guys feel about staircases? Exactly.
Ooh.
I like staircases.
I don't mind them if they're used well. I don't mind them if they serve like a purpose, but then they can also just be like staircase. You know what I mean? Uh-huh.
Like just existing.
Yeah, like, you know, I just, this is like so stupid, but this is an Oscars moment in a movie, but when... But in The Bodyguard. In The Bodyguard.
Rachel Marin.
Rachel. Yeah.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. There's a, like, you know, there's a staircase in that yes. moment. And I just always remembered kind of feeling like too many of those kind of big proppy thing. Like, yeah. It's not even prop, but like that feels too like... like theatery, like we're just putting a show together. Like it doesn't feel as elevated.
You know what I want? Oh. I just want the center of the stage to have this huge drop down diamond crusted curtain, like just diamonds. Mm. That when someone's coming out to present, the diamonds shift, and all of a sudden here it
them.
Is. Mm-hmm. Like it's almost opaque with diamonds, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden. There's Jennifer Lopez and she's walking up with the envelope in her hand.
Oh my God.
And I love the camera work on the Oscars.
Me too.
I want to see them gliding towards the microphone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 Yep.
So cute. What's wonderful about the Oscars now is that they just added the category for best casting.
Yeah. That'll be very interesting.
It's a huge, it's like, how did that not exist before?
Yeah.
Is nice about that. What's exciting about that, I should say, is that it will make people take risks. They want to win an Oscar. Mm. All of a sudden, ooh. Casting, doing something daring is going to be important because there's a way to win another way to win an Oscar. Mm. It's a nice carrot.
There's so many things that
we've
people
tried
do.
Stick. Yeah. It's time for carrot.
I want to ask.
Tell me.
You know, one of the things that's huge about Oscar night is the performances. Are there any performances that you remember seeing, or like that are like? I always say I have my performances that I'm like, oh, this is something that was done very intentionally. Mm. Like when Lady Gaga Sound of mm-hmm. Music.
Yeah.
That is a very calculated move from Stephanie Germanotta. Mm. Because up until that point, Lady Gaga was Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And then she starts to enter into her Joanne era. Then she enters her Tony Bennett. She's really checking the boxes of who she can, you know, who she can cater to. Mm. And there's nothing that old people like more than when you cater to them. And you know, it was mm-hmm. very gay just for Lady yeah. Gaga, the pop diva, to sing, you know, an old school,
one of the most classically known yes. melodies of our time.
Anyway, I just love like when they do stuff like that.
Yeah,
when it's like I'm Beyonce and I'm performing at the Oscars,
like a rebrand or not even kind or an ad brand, if you will.
Or it's like, you know, just showing my versatility and my range.
I do like that a lot. I do like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean that was an important moment for her. You know, I also think like I think of Lady Gaga. This is tangential, but like performing on Ellen. And she played early on. I think she did Poker Face, like deconstructed on a piano.
Ah, yes.
And she was like, okay, the girl can play piano.
Yes.
Right.
You know, it's like when people find out that Mariah Carey
is the songwriter.
It's like all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. You know, it's helpful. Right. It adds gravitas.
It does. And I love when people take advantage of those moments to be able to go, I want to do this. You almost kind of see their... like the artist in them going, this is what I want to see. Mm-hmm. This is what I would like to be able to. And I agree. Like those are some fun moments in times like that.
Mine was, well, I love Bond themes.
Ooh,
I love Bond themes. So it's not my favorite Bond theme of all time, you know, but Adele performing Skyfall on the Oscars. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was so satisfying. Yeah, and it was just like, and for it to win, and she was so good. And it's another example of someone getting recognition as a writer, too. I love Adele. I mean, yeah. I love Adele. But that performance, I just remember it was so sumptuous. Yeah. And she sounded so good, and it was so Hollywood.
Yeah. That song is also just so, like, it sounds like what it, like when you hear the name like Skyfall, mm-hmm. Bond, and then it has this sort of mm-hmm. like, you're falling into this movie
and
the mood, all of it, when it all hits, what?
Dolly performing the theme from Transamerica. That was a very important moment for my career.
I'm gonna cry.
It was a very important moment. I don't know why it was so moving to me, but I remember thinking that it was daring. Mm. And you know what's so interesting about that movie? It preceded so much of the talk about transgender mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. were the idea of what a transgender person was and being transgender was less controversial then than it is now because we didn't know enough about it.
Right.
It hadn't been co-opted by the extreme right, mm-hmm. right and by the political machine as a weapon yet.
Yeah.
And so, but I remember thinking that it was brave and important that right. Dolly Parton, this country Christian icon, mm-hmm. very, you know, a Christian woman,
yeah.
had written this theme.
Yeah.
And how
I've never heard this song. Is it Anthemy?
No.
No, it's very quiet, just like the movie.
The song is.
Is it Pat Traveling Through? Or
Traveling
something?
Through.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it the metaphor is kind of that, like, I'm just traveling through this body.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very sweet. I remember it. Very, very sweet. I love it.
You can always tell when he's like,
yeah.
It's
you know what I hate, though?
What do you hate?
I like I this.
For performances, I hate when a musical is nominated and then they invite the cast to sing the musical on the stage.
Oh, give me an example, babe.
Dreamgirls. Singers, okay?
These are singers. I do it on purpose now.
But they are on that stage and it's not giving what the movie was giving. And that's the issue for me.
Oh, that it doesn't live up to the recording.
It's not living up
to. Oh.
And I don't know if that's a lack of preparation, a lack of rehearsal. You know, these people are busy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I name would em. Rather.
Name them.
You know who is in Dreamgirls. I don't have to name
them. Oh, you named it already. I'm sorry. God, my ears. Wow.
I thought it was just Beyonce that performed.
No, it was it was Beyonce, Jennifer Lopez, Anika Noni Rose.
Because they Jennifer Hudson.
Because they were nominated.
Did I say that?
No, you said Jennifer Lopez.
That's why I was like, well, I was like, wait,
you but
imagine like,
Jennifer Lopez in Dreamgirls?
Yeah.
She has definitely imagined herself. she definitely heard about it and said,
she didn't
hey.
Even need to. She did a Motown tribute on the Grammys.
Correct.
That is my girl, the audacity.
Yeah.
The audacity.
Is hers.
Yeah.
I remember when that happened, actually, and J-Lo performed the Motown tribute. I said, well, you know, her voice is very, you know, Diana Ross. It's, uh-huh. you know, it's very.
Yes.
Anyway, I
giving
just.
Stand.
It just didn't, it didn't really hit for me. I would rather, if a musical is nominated, the people that were in the musical sit in that audience and enjoy your moment and have some popular artists
come in and do the singing.
Or Broadway.
Interesting.
If it's a Broadway musical movie, have the Broadway stars come in.
Or just be prepared.
You know, if we're doing Chicago, let Cheetah Rivera and Bebe Neuwirth come in, honey.
Oh.
And show the girls who the originals were.
Yeah. I will say, sometimes I still wish there was that kind of mix of Hollywood with New York, you know, theater, Broadway, because it was a little bit more mixed in back in the day. You did because also those Broadway stars were stars in their own right in a way that didn't
feel...
Well,
that's what I mean. Like, they're invited over... You know, ladies and gentlemen, Bernadette Peters.
Right, and yes.
And that's happened a few times.
And that's what I mean. Like, lean into that rather than having the stars of the film that is nominated that are nominees. I don't want to see nominees on that stage.
I was going to say, that seems very unfortunate because you have three singers there who should have given you good singers.
Correct. I mean, it just didn't
hit exactly
because
the way it was supposed
to. Yeah.
I get it.
You know, I have 2 points to this. First of all, we've got
I'm yelling.
Ryan, the muchacho who played Ken.
Oh.
Uh-huh. He's going to be singing.
What's
He's
his
going
name?
To be singing on the Oscars.
Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling.
One of the Ryans.
Ryan Gosling will be singing I'm Just Ken on this year's Oscars.
Nominated.
And, you know, that's going to be an interesting example.
Yeah.
Maybe, who would you have chosen to do it for him?
Ooh, like I a love real this singer? Game.
I would have chosen I'm Just Ken anywhere else. Huh.
Yeah.
It would have to be one of the boys, Harry Styles.
I would have chosen Shawn Mendes.
Yep,
I think he would have been so cute.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they not there with Shawn Mendes.
No, I love Shawn Mendes, but I think there needs to be a certain level of comedic timing.
Yeah.
I
but
see.
But maybe that's what's the tragedy of it. Like, he's like, he just plays it so seriously.
Yeah, and he's in on the joke.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you'd fall in love with him even more, and you'd just be like, oh my God, he's
wearing
trying for something.
Wearing a tuxedo on stage is kind of pleading to the audience.
Pleading, I like that.
But I will tell you, I think part of the reason why that doesn't happen as much as anymore is mm-hmm. because this is something, an interesting point to debate, actually, but American audiences, for some reason, we have, you know, back in the day, Natalie Wood did not sing for herself in West Side Story.
Yeah.
We today need, like, if we, American audiences in 2020, the year 2026, is that what it is? 2024? Uh-huh. If you don't sing for yourself, it seems like you are not the real deal.
Right.
But life would be so much easier if we just were allow ourselves to suspend our disbelief and
the
say
way
like,
we used to.
The way we used to.
Yeah.
And that's why now if you do it in the movie, you got to do it live.
Yeah. You know what I...
Imagine we're just lip syncing. I mean, listen, I'd love that. For myself.
It would be a different, like a new experience for all. And that's why it makes me kind of, I would love to snap my fingers and like go back in time when like the Marnie Nixons, who was a very famous Broadway like actress, but also like just, she did most of the singing for, she did the singing for Audrey Hepburn and My Fair Lady. She did the singing for,
Natalie Wood and West Side Story.
Natalie Wood and West Side Story, and just there's many, many others. And
this is the first I'm finding out Natalie Wood did not sing in that movie.
No way. Oh yeah,
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. All right,
well. And you wouldn't fault her. You're not. It doesn't change. She was still amazing in that.
Yeah. No.
She didn't win an Oscar.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's
not
good.
But she was still really good, and her performance in that is still, you know.
Yeah,
incredible.
But that's not a role that wins. Maria's don't win.
No, Anita's.
Anita's win. Only.
Who doesn't deserve their Oscar?
I am.
I can't go first, Lord. I can't go first. God, this is. I'm a coward because she's no longer with us, but it's fine. But I think Barbara Streisand should have gotten her. I'm happy she tied. Then I understand they gave it to her and Katharine Hepburn for Lion in Winter. Mm-hmm. Totally understand all that. But I think Barbara could have had that by herself. You know, how many did Katharine have before that? You know?
Interesting. And is that something?
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
What?
You're going to say something about like, oh, Beyonce's had too many awards, so we're not going to
No. I'm just saying, is that something that you would take into consideration when voting for the Oscars when you're a part of the Academy?
Well, I think I don't know.
That is something I would take into account.
You're like, this bitch doesn't need any more.
Yeah, but I have publicly stated before, I don't really believe in people winning too many awards. Yeah. I think with Oscars, you get two, and then it's like, okay, enough.
And here's the thing is, and what I love about you, Juan, is when you do say things like that, and then you have the, by chops, I mean, like, you have a real reason to back it up. And for example, when you talk about that we need to be creating leading ladies on Broadway these days.
Yes, we need to celebritize people. We need celebrities who we think, because it's one of our only metrics to really assess value, these awards. So we need to have a lot of people who have awards. It's better for business. And on Broadway is a good example. We need to give young people. We need to give new life. To me, a person having 6 Tonys or 7 Tonys is crazy. It's crazy. When there are actresses who cannot, then we have to stunt cast because you don't have actresses who have enough Tony Awards to be a big enough name.
Yeah.
And so then we stunt cast when we could just stunt cast with Broadway actresses.
Right.
Instead of reaching outside
to
of the business.
Real housewives
of, exactly.
Yeah.
So, if we had more people who had more Tonys. But that's another story.
Yeah.
But, okay, so, who yeah, maybe take it away from Katharine, maybe for that.
Yeah.
Although she was spectacular in Lion
I
Winter.
I know.
It's like, what a movie. It would have been crazy not to win for Lion in Winter, too. Although, how could Barbara Streisand not win for the
Shakespeare
other
in Love didn't deserve its award.
For what? Best film? Or best feature?
Period, point blank, Saving Private Ryan deserved it all.
Yeah, without question. Mine would be the Green Book.
Oh, Green Mile.
No, Green Book.
Green Book.
Green Mile was a great film.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about The Green Book.
Oh, yeah.
Just a few years ago. It was such a...
With Mahershala?
Yeah, it was just such a...
What a great actor.
A fantastic actor. It was just a very... safe choice.
Mm. What was the other film in films and conventions?
We're gonna look that up because it's very important. The Green Book won in 2019, and look at the other candidates.
2019.
And listen to the other candidates: Black Panther, Black Klansman,
ooh, that was
Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite.
Oh my god.
The Favorite.
Oh my god.
Roma.
Oh,
which was spectacular.
Incredible.
A Star is Born, which was excellent.
Oh wow.
And Vice, which was excellent.
Oh wow.
All of those movies were bold and daring, and they were living out loud. Those were movies that were reaching outside of themselves. Even A Star is Born, which was a remake, was novel in the way it told a new story.
Yes,
Roma,
yes.
Maybe not the best picture, but an excellent picture, saying it said something. Yeah. The Green Book could have aired on Hallmark at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was the most sanitized. Mm. It had a great performances, but not with these other people. Black Panther?
Oh my god.
Black Panther would have been an easy yes to scratch a lot of itches. They could have given Black Panther, a Marvel film could have won Best Picture. They could have given a movie to a complete black ensemble.
Honestly, the only Marvel movie I think that has like
ever been nominated?
Yeah, it's been nominated. The only one that's been nominated, right?
Yeah.
For Best Picture.
And that deserved it.
It did.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know what's fun? What's interesting about, you know, who wins what year and what films do well? I remember being in Miami in drama class, and one of the first things my teacher, Mrs. Ryan, said to the class was, "You can always tell what was happening politically by who won the year." Because she said that comedies and musicals do well when the country's in strife, and when the country's doing okay and not so worried. Things that have dark undertones, more dramatic, more real, do better.
Ooh, do you remember?
Well, that Green Book came at a time where people wanted to feel good about something, and it is a story that's like, you know, there's like a happy ending, and look, the racists aren't that bad, like they're just a little misunderstood.
I see what you mean.
You know, that kind of like white savior situation is like, oh, rather than like a film like Black Klansman, which is really like just really putting it in your face, you know, or you know, like Chicago, you know, there's just every. I'm not saying that's exactly what happens, but when she said that to me in seventh grade, I always kind of paid attention to it going forward.
What I love about art is that it is representative of what is happening, what we want to see happen.
A book that I feel like everyone should read if they're listening to the podcast. If you like the Oscars, you should read it. If you don't, you probably have tuned out the episode by now. It's a book that I read this summer after I was in P-Town and recovering. It's called Oscar Wars. It's called Oscar Wars, A History of Hollywood in Gold, Sweat, and Tears by Michael Shulman. It is such a fun read. If you like how the sausage is made, it is super exciting. And then there's another book that I highly recommend. It's called Pictures at a Revolution by Mark Harris. It talks about all of the films. It's called Pictures at a Revolution, 5 movies and the birth of the new Hollywood. I just want to point out which films were nominated that year. In the mid-1960s, westerns, war movies, and blockbuster musicals like Mary Poppins swept the box office. The Hollywood studio system was astonishingly lucrative for the few who dominated the business. That is, until the taste of American moviegoers radically and unexpectedly changed. The Oscar ceremony of 1968 was a tsunami, and the films like Bonnie and Clyde, The Graduate, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, In the Heat of the Night, and the box office bomb, Dr. Doolittle, were all nominated. So it's a wonderful book about like the politics and like what we as consumers deem like this is what we want to see.
Exactly.
You know,
they were
fascinating.
In their best Taylor Armstrong. Enough! Enough!
Yes, yes.
We had enough.
And did you know, I love Oscar's history. But in the 1970s, they had a really big problem with like, you know, the new guard, like, you know, what's his name from To Kill a Mockingbird? Gregory Peck was the president of the Oscars, of the Academy. And he needed to make the Oscars relevant because people weren't watching. People didn't care
anymore.
And so he had Candy Bergen, who, you know who Candace Bergen is, of course.
Yeah.
She wrote in and said, hey, I can help you out like by adding some new Academy members to the fold. And that's when we got like Jack Nicholson And, you know, the younger generation back
then. I want
then,
the listeners to know that Juan and I have never heard this before, and we are so intrigued
because
by
Candy
this.
Bergen is one of the Nepo babies. Yes. Like, she's royalty. An OG. So she knew all of these people, and she's like, we're going to get
Mike
them
Nichols
in.
Mike Nichols and all those.
We're going to get these new voices in here. So it reminds me of, like, when we had the controversy about, like, Oscar's so white, and then we talked about the voting body and how it needed to change versus diversify. Mm-hmm. So it feels like what I love about the Oscars is that always a barometer for where we are in the world and where we need to go. And I think it's such a fascinating thing. That's like the nerdy part of it. And then there's like the fashion and the glamour. And
that's my, I love trivia so much. I love that. Makes me, where did you get that information?
That's
from
the Oscar Awards.
Oh, I need to read that. Yeah, I really do need to read that. I have to say a very, very fond kind of memory of mine when with the Oscars, because my dad is in the business and he was an actor and director. And so like I was always around that.
He's an actor.
Yeah, definitely is an actor.
He's
never not an actor. He goes on more auditions than I do. I'm not kidding. But I have a very fond memory because some famous people were like around our, like my childhood, blah, 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 all these
Name
things.
Them.
Yeah. Robert De Niro, Harvey Keitel. Uh-huh. Anyway, actually, you said The Graduate and her name,
Anne Bancroft?
Dustin Hoffman and Bancroft, Catherine Ross.
So, the Harvey Keitels, the Robert De Niro's may have been at my baptism. And then, like, Catherine Ross, who was in The Graduate, and my dad dated. Like, LOL.
You're kidding.
LOL.
They were at your christening?
Yeah, one of them. One of them was. I can't remember which one it was.
One of the Roberts.
And, wow. What's it called? Oh, and a very like fond memory of mine growing up, and like that's why I think I just have always loved movies, is because it was this thing that me and my dad always connected on. And so the Oscars was this like one time, not one time. We always went to the movies together, but it was always really fun to see my dad be like so lit up by the other actors and talk about, you know, he really cares and kind of like us and how we, you know, pontificate and share our notes. Like that's where I learned a lot of this from. And so I have many, many good memories of watching the shows and hearing my dad's trivia on like certain actors or how that movie was made or why that was important. Because my dad is born, he was born in 1935. And so he has been around for a while.
Yeah.
He has seen the world change and, you know, like he's really with it and he likes certain things. And so growing up kind of seeing like what he held on to as important to him and sort of like his taste was always really fun and the Oscars was a place where like that always came about because we always talked about it and sometimes I was like nah, I don't agree or this, you know, anyway,
that's where you get it from.
Yeah,
you're like fine tooth combing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, which is why sometimes when I hang out with him I see myself in him and I get annoyed because I'm like, oh my god, like I, you know, it's that where you start to you're like I'm turning into my dad. Anyway, love you, Dad.
Yeah.
His knowledge is encyclopedic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's how he connects. It's, did you know this? Did you know that?
Favorite Oscar speech? I have two.
What are yours?
Yeah.
One of them was because I truly remember where I was, what I was wearing, who I was with, was when Halle Berry won for Monsters Ball.
Oh, my God. That was something
I
else.
Remember crying. And it was one of those moments. You know when they talk about, like, you're just a little kid sitting in front of the TV? I truly was by myself. Everyone else was doing something else. And I was watching the Oscars crying because I knew that this was such a momentous moment for Halle Berry.
Yeah.
And so that one's burned into my brain. And Olivia Colman for The Favourite.
Oh, God.
Can we play them?
Yes. We can. Yes, we should.
Here, I got it.
And the Oscar goes to
Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman.
Fantastic.
This is the first Oscar and nomination for Olivia Colman.
That's what I want to see, just everyone jumping on you.
Yeah.
Oh, what a dress.
Ooh, it's genuinely quite stressful. This is hilarious. Go on, Oscar. okay.
I have to thank lots of people. If, by the way, I forget anybody, I'm going to find you later. I'm going to give you all a massive snog, and I'm really sorry if I might forget now. But Yorgos, my best director in the best film, and with Emily and Rachel, the two loveliest women in the world to fall in love with and to go to work with every day. I mean, you can imagine, it wasn't a hardship. And to be in this category with these extraordinary women, and Glenn Close, you've been my idol for so long, and this is not how I wanted it to be, and I think you're amazing. I love you very much. I love you all. Thank you. Lindy King, my agent, who took me on over 20 years ago. Thank you so much. And Olive and Hildy and Brynna, who made me do things that I said no to, but she was right. And my mum and my dad. my kids are at home and watching. Look, well, if you're not, then well, kind of well done, but I sort of hope you are. This is not going to happen again. And any little girl who's practicing their speech on the telly, you never know. And when I used to work as a cleaner, and I loved that job. I did spend quite a lot of my time imagining this. Oh, please wrap up. Right, okay. And thank you. And my husband, Ed, my best friend, I love you so much. 25 years, you've been my best supporter.
He's a handsome man.
He's going to cry. I'm not. And thank you so much. Fox, everybody, the cast, the crew, Francis, Sam, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
What a perfect speech to me.
Okay, so one of my favorites is when Julia Roberts won for Erin Brockovich. That moment is...
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I just love this film. Her winning this award was almost really a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah.
It's much like Sandra Bullock for The Blind Side.
Yeah.
You know, the films are excellent, and their performances... Julia Roberts is better in Erin Brockovich than Sandra Bullock is in Blind Side.
Oh.
But, you know, respectively, like, it's just, you know, like in their each... But it's for their legacy. It's for their career. Mm. She won for Pretty Woman. She won for Closer. She won for this. She won for everything. Closer was after.
Yeah,
she's won for everything she's ever done.
Yeah.
This moment. But here I am. Steel Magnolias.
Wow.
And this dress. Armani.
Yeah.
America's sweetheart, everyone.
Oh, girl.
Thank you. Thank you ever so much. I'm so happy. Thank you. I have a television, so I'm going to spend some time here to tell you some things. And sir, you're doing a great job, but you're so quick with that stick, so why don't you sit? Because I may never be here again. I would like to start with telling you all how amazing the experience of feeling the sisterhood of being included in a group with Joan Allen and Juliette Binoche and Laura Linney and Ellen Burstyn for these last weeks has been, it's just felt like such a triumph to me to be in that list. My name starts with R, so I'm always last, but I still love the list. I can't believe this is quite pretty. I want to acknowledge so many people that made Erin Brockovich Erin Brockovich, but let me make my dress pretty. Universal, everybody at Universal, Kevin Mischer and Stacy Snyder and Stacy Shear, and I can't believe I'm remembering everybody's name, Jersey Films, Danny DeVito, and everybody over there, everyone I've ever met in my life. this movie was sinfully fun to make. And Albert Finney is my friend and my pleasure to act with.
Never goes to the Oscars.
And Aaron Eckhart and Scotty and Jemaine and Brittany and Ashley, all the wonderful actors that played my children, and Marg Helgenberger, and turn that clock off, it's making me nervous. Greg Jacobs, everybody on our crew that were so great, and just a few other people. And but really the main person, Richard LeGravenais and Susanna Grant, who wrote such a nice script. Steven Soderbergh, hi, there you are. You truly just made me want to be the best actor that I suppose I never knew I could be or aspire to. And I made every attempt. Stickman, I see you. So I thank you for really making me feel so. I love it up here.
She is.
Yeah. Anyway, I start working for him again in 2 days, so I can get to you later. But Benjamin Bratt, my sister Lisa, my brother-in-law Tony, Elaine Goldsmith Thomas, who's been my agent since Elaine God Goldsmith, was a boy, wow. Jeff Berg, my mom, and just Francis and Marcus and Mike and everybody who's watching at home, Kelly, Emma, everybody. I love the world. I'm so happy. Thank you.
That moment where she goes,
yeah.
That is the most Julia Roberts thing I've ever seen in my life.
You know, something I love that I have a thing about, like, people and how they speak, and she has a thing that she does that thing with, like, B's and D's, and it's like the way she talks is so satisfying to listen to.
And her idiosyncratic too.
Huh?
It sounds like something.
Yeah.
It sounds like something.
Oh.
And Juan.
Well, I should say it. I love when Barbara Streisand won for Funny Girl. I respect Barbara Streisand for so many reasons, but for her balls most of all. And she's so young. She's filled with so much conviction in the way she does anything. Like, the way she played that role is who she is. And then she goes up to give this speech, and what she chose to wear for the evening was what I was trying to say. It's unique. She's wearing a sailor, a sheer sailor, mock sailor neck, two-piece pantsuit. It's fabulous. And she says this.
Hello, gorgeous. Well, I'm very honored to be in such magnificent company as Katharine Hepburn. And, gee whiz, it's kind of a wild feeling. Sitting there tonight, I was thinking that the first script of Funny Girl was written when I was only 11 years old. And thank God it took so long to get it right. So I would like to thank my co-producer, Ray Stark, for waiting till I grew up, and Julie Stein and Bob Merrill for giving me such a great score to sing, and Isabel Lennart for writing such a terrific character. And all the Hollywood people who made our show into a movie. Herb Ross and my dear Harry Stradling, who I haven't let go since. And my dear friend and director, William Wyler. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody once said to me, asked me if I was happy, and I said, are you kidding? I'd be miserable if I was happy. And I'd like to thank all the members of the Academy for making me really miserable. Thank you.
She, wow. She's so smart. Like, just like.
One of the things I love about all of those speeches were that there's like a, you know, there was some joy, not just for winning, but just joy. Mm-hmm. And like, there were jokey moments. They were, you know, relatable, but also prepared. You mm-hmm. know, they knew who they were talking to.
Yeah. That's what's fun about the awards is it's
getting
less
to see that moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's less that they win, but it's that if you do, I get to see my favorite stars share themselves, and you get mm-hmm. to see these honest moments where Julia really does
very
laugh vulnerable. Like that.
Yeah.
You know, it she is not fake. Like, it's just, that's just her.
It is. It's fabulous. I think of also of Adrien Brody winning.
Oh my God. Oh.
And his win was important for, that's my runner up. And
was that for
his,
The Pianist?
It was.
Yeah.
And the reason it was important to me is because he was so joyous, and also he didn't look like what Oscar winners, leading men typically look like. And that kind of meant something to me. He's kind
I thought
of a
about
lunatic,
that.
But I love him.
And he's, you know, handsome.
Oh, yeah. To me.
Oh my God.
From that moment on, baby, that nose, I need it.
Yeah.
I need it in the in-between me.
Yeah. In the
beep beeps. Uh-huh. You know, funny, as we've been recording this episode, I was like thinking about like, wow, I love how you guys have such vivid sort of memories around the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I consider myself somewhat kind of like a cinephile, like in some respects, like the whole growing up with it, my dad, blah, blah, and trivia and all this stuff. And like, it's just been really nice to hear that I am not the only one who like loves like the movie business and Hollywood for like, it really means something to you guys. It really means something to us. And
yeah,
it's part of our
existence. It's part of our artistry.
It's, I would say, yes, it's part of, it's definitely at the center of my folklore, for sure.
I'm really happy that we did this episode just to kind of celebrate this wonderful thing that we do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
These awards that we give away and give to people to kind of help them mark and give shape to your life, to our lives.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
And to theirs, certainly.
Absolutely. Oh. It's one of my favorite parts about what we do is like watching. There's something really beautiful about watching people joyfully, respectfully, all the things just like, oh, recognize you.
Yeah.
You know?
Best movie, who's going to win?
Ooh.
It's Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
It's Oppenheimer's to lose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
best
listen,
actress. I have no idea.
La muchacha.
Emma Stone.
Lily
Gladstone. But I think Emma Stone.
Yeah, Emma Stone. And this will be Emma's second?
Second Oscar, yes.
Would she win the first one?
La La Land.
God, she won for La La.
She was good in that.
She was good in that.
I just forgot.
She showed a different layer of herself.
That movie. Oh, yeah. That's another thing. Oscars. If you need people, if you need like interviewers on the red carpet, we're available.
We are available.
And we know our stuff.
We really do.
Yeah. And we can work local. We can get ourselves there.
I don't know about all that.
Mm. Oh, sorry.
I'll even bring my own tiny mic. Fucking tiny mics.
Oh. Okay. I really need this job. Yeah. Please, God. And with that,
back to Juliana Rancic.
Enjoy the 2020s. Yeah, right?
Wow. Whoa.
Enjoy the 2024 Oscars. We love you.
We love you so much.
Bye.